Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. Thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. It is Tuesday, and we're going to be talking about our law enforcement community today. I'm excited to have an entire hour dedicated to talking about the issues that they are facing and the challenges that they're facing as well. Ken Thornburg is going to join me. We'll talk spiritual warfare and the assault on the conscience of our children, and the web that has been that is being laid right now all across this country to try to destroy this nation, but more importantly to destroy our faith and the underpinning of our faith, which is our belief in God, our Christian heritage as a nation. They keep going after it, folks, and there's a reason why. And we'll talk about that coming up in hour number two. I'm very pleased at this time to welcome to the program. He is the vice president of the, let me make sure that I say it correctly, the National Center for Police Defense. And their mission is to address this issue that we're seeing regarding our officers and the targeting. And if you're watching us right now on our TECN TV feed, our social media feeds at chosengenerationradio.com, you will see just to the right of our guest, the Dallas police officers who were ambushed on July 7th, 2016. And I'm gonna make this a little larger for a second. I want to recite their names: Sergeant Michael Smith, Senior Corporal Lauren Ahrens, Officer Michael Kroll, Officer Patrick Zemaripa, and Officer Brent Thompson were assassinated by members of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I've talked about this on the program before, but there was an interview with one of Al Sharpton's National Action Now network leaders in Dallas, in which he said that the only regret that they had was that they didn't kill more police officers. This is the tragedy that our officers are facing today. Bert, welcome to the program. Thank you for being here today, because this is a really important topic for us to discuss.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk to my audience about your mission and the mission of the organization.
Okay. National Center for Police Defense, we founded it in 2015 with myself and Jim Fotis. The background, the reason why we started, was mainly because we saw an uptake in officers being criminally charged for doing the job the way they've been trained. So we wanted to help them out. And from 2015 and on, it has just been growing, sadly. Our biggest place right now, which was unbelievable, is Austin, Texas. We have currently 24 officers that have been indicted for various charges. The most is the riots of 2020. There's 24 that have been charged for that.
So let me get this straight. The Black Lives Matter and the radical left riot and destroy and burn and injure and so forth, and the police are brought in to try to restore some order and protect the citizenry from these radicals, and they are the ones that are being charged?
Correct. The two main felony charges are aggravated assault by a public servant times two. They use their less lethal shotgun rounds. And in the indictment, it says, basically, intentionally, knowingly, and recklessly causing bodily harm. And they consider the shotgun as a deadly weapon. And they state in the indictment that it's a deadly weapon, but it is not considered a deadly weapon when you're using a less lethal round. The rounds were little rubber pellets. They don't come out at the velocity as a regular shotgun round, and when they hit, it's more of a pain compliance to get them to stop. The reason why they deployed it is they were getting Molotov cocktails, rocks, frozen fruit, water bottles thrown at them. So they were basically in their policies and procedures shooting at the ones that were deploying rocks and harmful items at them. So they were trying to stop it.
I want to get more into that, and then I also want to transition into just like, for example, what happened at the Capitol with the D.C. Capitol Police, where you have another a different kind of situation, it seems, going on in that relative to a lot of the video that we've seen on that.
Correct.
And then maybe you can help our audience to differentiate between those kinds of differences. And then the other thing too that I know is a big issue that police officers are trying to push back against is the international influence and the nationalization of local police forces, which started under Obama.
Correct. Well, as far as, you know, the January 6th, I mean, when you look at the videos, yes, they did go into the Capitol, but all of a sudden when all these videos are released, now you see law enforcement escorting them around. They weren't as violent as they said.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have an issue with them all of a sudden on the federal side, just locking them up, no bond. And that's what gets me. A lot of those individuals got no bond, where you go to some of these other places and they're violent offenders and they're letting them out, especially California.
Sure.
So it's, you know, it's a catch 22. I mean, they're not keeping it where they should be.
Well, and it seemed as though, again, you know, you have a situation like what we're talking about with the riot cases, where you had these individuals going and burning down city buildings, attacking citizenry, all of these kinds of situations, even staged, where we have video where there were trucks that were already there parked, and these individuals going to these trucks and getting out clubs and pipes and different things in order to carry out this violence. And now you have a police force that is attempting to meet that with some level of force to try to stop their violent behavior versus peaceful protesters at a Capitol that are getting shot at by rubber pellets from way up high above the crowd.
Yeah, well, I think every situation is different, and as far as deploying, you know, less lethal, every jurisdiction has their policies and procedures. Were there some individuals in January 6th that were violent, breaking stuff? Yes, but there were a lot that were not. They were going, you could say, with the flow. They went in. They weren't violent, destroying anything. So, but they take it as far as punishing them to an extreme. To me, I believe in, you know, firm but fair punishment. And the individuals that have been criminally charged and have gotten their punishment, it, to me, is excessive.
The officers that you guys are defending in Austin, as an example, are being charged because they were trying to stop violent individuals from committing violent acts. Is that correct?
Correct. They were doing the job the way they've been trained, and all these officers have been charged. As far as I know, all the ones that they have during the riots, the individuals from the rioters that the police locked up and criminally charged, I believe there was only one that actually was prosecuted. Everybody else, the DA never prosecuted them.
Now, that trend seems to be holding or have held pretty much across most of the country, to my understanding. Do you have any knowledge with regards to what's happened, like in places like Portland and St. Louis, where retired Officer Dorn was killed? Now, I know that the individuals who were involved in that were that particular death, as I understand it, were caught. I don't know the status of their prosecution, but I know that there were a lot of violent acts that were committed, and it seems like not a whole lot of arrests.
No, there's not. I'm not too familiar with that case. I mean, we have cases across the United States. We did have Matt Mastrada up in Hartford, Michigan. That was he was acquitted of all charges in reference to he stopped a speeder, and it come to find out he was involved across town in what they thought was a homicide. And he was criminally charged for assault because there was a grainy video that showed him, after he handcuffed him, he put him on the ground to deal with the passenger who was getting out, but the video didn't show that. But because he was handcuffed and he was set on the ground, and he didn't body slam him or nothing, he just set him down to have control, he was criminally charged, but he was acquitted back in May, which was a plus for us.
Sure.
But they're still charging. They're still charging everybody. We have five right now officers in prison that we're helping on appeal that they didn't do anything wrong.
What do you think is the impetus behind this? Why is the district attorneys and that hierarchy? Why are they focused on attacking the police officers in that way?
I think they're progressive attorneys. They're on the far left that believe that, to me personally, I think it's, law and order is bad. They want chaos, and that's how they thrive. And the DAs that are prosecuting these officers, DA Jose Garza in Austin, Texas, I mean, he ran on, I'm going to charge the officers. And he had a list of 12 cases that he was going to charge, and he's been charging them. And I'm for, if the officer is in the wrong and he or she was in the wrong,
right?
Okay, yes, something should be done. But these officers that we're all helping are doing the job the way they've been trained, and they're being criminally charged for it.
Well,
and that's to me probably the reason why a lot of police departments across the nation are having a tough time hiring people.
Sure. I know, too, my audience may not all be aware of it. I know a lot of my Texas audience likely is. But Austin was one of the first cities to actually vote. Their council voted to disband the police force. And Governor Abbott actually initially had to send in state DPS in order to try to restore some kind of order in Austin. So the animosity that has happened as a result of that woke agenda in the city has been horrific. What kind of danger does that create for the officer then as they leave their home every day to get into their car, go, get their assignment at the station, and then go out into the community?
Well, I think the danger is there's no, if you don't have the support, it's hard to do your job. If you're afraid to go out and do your job because you're afraid you're going to be locked up because somebody took a video of you, you're not going to do your job. You're going to be scared. And when you start, either being scared or not doing your job, there's a chance that, complacency, or you're just sitting instead of being reactive, proactive, now you're reactive. So I think the officer safety comes into play that way.
Doesn't it also endanger the law-abiding citizens and law-abiding business people that are dependent on a sense that if the bad guys do something, something's going to happen to them?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's the other issue, is the criminals out there know that they're going to get a slap on the hand. So, you commit a crime, you're going to get out. You can just keep doing it over and over again. And eventually that criminal that is getting away with it may end up committing murder. And there's cases out there where they've been released and went out and killed somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to me about the impact, because the other side to this, I know, is the families that are, whose brothers, fathers, sons are the ones that are, doing this job, daughters. And we read pretty regularly about these situations where they don't finish their shift. Talk to me about the impact on the families as you work with them.
Well, it's traumatic. I mean, there's no words. I mean, their life has been turned upside down. They've lost a family member to violence. You know, and you can't bring that person back. You know, they gave the ultimate sacrifice by giving their life. And there's no words. I mean, you help them through it. You help them. You know, we raise money for the families. We raise money for the officers, you know, and you see it. You know, we have peer support. So you got to work with them all the way through. We just don't give up on them. You have to work with them. And it's case by case. I mean, some families deal with it a little bit better. But as everybody knows, there's that grieving process. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the grieving process is a lot longer for others. And then the biggest thing is, you know, the children. I think the biggest impact are on the children, especially when they're younger, you know, really young, to where, you know, they have that image, but they're not growing up with a father or mother. That's the devastating part.
Well, and you know, I having survived a traumatic accident, you know, it and still working through, because depending on the level of the trauma, you know, those last a long time, as in regards to what we're talking about. And a lot of times I think that people forget that, you know, it doesn't just, you know, go, you know, a month later, it's not just over. You know, 6 months later, it's not over. A year later, even, you're still dealing with consequences and ramifications of that traumatic event for a very long time.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever forgets or ever gets over it. It's how you deal with it.
I wasn't referring to the family. I was referring to people, community, and people kind of in their circle that are, you know, that may think, well, you know, that was whenever that was, and so now you're okay, right? Everything's okay. And that's not necessarily the case.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you are correct. Yeah. I mean, it affects the family. It affects the community.
Sure.
Especially if there's a good relationship between the police department and the community. I mean, because you're, you know, family. You work normally in the community that you live in sometimes.
Well, I,
so,
you know,
it plays a factor.
I was up in Plano about a month or so, month and a half ago, and was talking to an officer in the property department there. Couple, married couple. She works in property. He works out on the force, and she was telling me how her daughter had come home from school. This was after the George Floyd thing happened. Her daughter had come home from school and said, "Mommy, is daddy going to start killing people?" I mean, the messaging that is happening. And here you have, you know, a daughter of two police officers who is asking her mom if her dad, you know, because that's the message that the school is sending to these kids. This is why this topic in my heart, in my mind, is so important for us to raise awareness. And I can see you feeling very emotional about that.
I agree with you. It hurts. And I think the biggest problem right now, and the reason why, I think it's dealing with media. I think it's dealing with people in, you know, the powers of authority, the you know, delegates. When they come out and immediately say that officer is guilty, and we need to, you know, protest, or, you know, the message is, you know, don't listen to the police. I mean, if the word is constantly out there, and then with the kids and the messaging that is don't listen to the police, you're constantly going to have these issues. When you look at a lot of these incidents with law enforcement, if they would have just done what they were asked, in that situation, whether it was a traffic stop or,
sure.
you know, somebody with a weapon and they set it down, they wouldn't, it wouldn't be where we're at today.
Right.
And that's the key is, you know, we're always holding police officers accountable, which we should, but we're not holding the individuals, the other individuals that is the second half of the incident accountable. Well, they're not yeah. holding them for their decisions. They're just saying, well, it's the police fault. It's not the police fault.
Bad behavior breeds bad results.
I agree with you. Yes.
I mean, that at the, it, you know, bottom line, bad behavior breeds bad results. And then when you continue to prop up individuals, you know, and then say, well, you know, you can't look at their past history. Well, their past history plays a big role in more than likely what really happened at the scene. George Floyd's a primary example. You know, I mean, the truth about Floyd, and I've had Miriam Heinen on here to talk about that, but Floyd was a bad actor, and he was overdosing before the police officers ever even arrived on the scene, but nobody wants to talk about that.
You are correct. They don't. They always want to talk about the officer and Monday night quarterback. They're not looking it through the eyes of the officer. And that's wrong.
The sad irony in all of this, and I know we're going to run out of time, but the sad irony in all this is that we have a tyrannical government situation right now happening where the rights of we the people are being consistently trampled. And the tyrants themselves are pointing to the guys that are trying to actually follow the law and uphold the law and saying, it's not us, it's those bad guys over there. And folks, they want to get rid of actual true law enforcement so that they can institute their tyrannical dictatorial authority. That's the scary part about all this.
I agree. And that's, you know, that's part of what we're trying to change. And yeah. it's taken years to get where we're at. It's going to take years to bring it back around.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm a firm believer without law and order, you have chaos.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the officers that are being prosecuted, you know, there's not enough evidence to charge them, but they, you know, skew it the way they want and they get their indictment. But the process is a punishment. So if you take a whole bunch of these officers, you know, now they're suspended, you know, sometimes with, sometimes without pay. Mm. Now you're taking them off. And when people see that, your quality of officer, you know, they're not going to come. They're right. not going to be, you know, worry about it because, you know, just like qualified immunity, that's a whole nother topic. I mean, yeah. you take that away, who's going to want to be a police officer?
Well, and once they've been tagged, once they've been, you know, the newspaper clipping comes out, even down the road when they're found innocent, when they didn't do anything wrong, the problem is it's just like, you know, we find with these students that get accused of things that they didn't do, but it goes into their permanent education record, and nobody pays attention to the fact that they were acquitted or they weren't guilty or they didn't do anything wrong. It's just the initial publicity. And that's what they have to live with. And that's the other sad part to this.
Yeah, you're correct. I agree with you. And, you know, also, you know, with these officers, they're doing it because they love it. They mm-hmm. love to help people. They love to keep their community safe. That's all they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But we got to get back to supporting law enforcement. We just do. Why we started what we're doing.
National Center for Police Defense.com. National Correct. Center for Police Defense.com. And folks can make donations as well to assist your organization.
Yes, you can go to the website, National Center for Police Defense.com. I'd also like to put out to your callers, we are doing a celebrity chili cook-off in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
For all the officers in there, October 13th. There's a link on our website. We have right now, we have Sheriff Clark, Sarah Palin, Sheriff Lamb, we have Tom Holman, and we have a whole bunch. And we also have Todd and Oz from the Todd and Oz Show from Austin. They're going to be our MCs for the night. So we're building it up, and we need all the support we can get.
Outstanding. NationalCenterForPoliceDefense.com. We'll get you back on before October to talk more about that. We've got we've got quite a reach into the Texas market, so we'll make sure to try to get as many people out there for you as possible. You bet. Bert, thanks for stepping in this morning. I greatly appreciate it. Thanks for the conversation.
All right. Thank you for having me.
You
Have
bet.
A good day.
God bless you, sir. Bye-bye. All right, Daniel Stubbs joins us on the other side, and Daniel is, let me find my, there we go. Daniel is with the American Police Officers Alliance, and so we'll be talking with him more about this topic coming up here in just a moment. Back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Again, the gentleman who was just on with us, Bert Eiler, National Center for Police Defense, National Center for Police Defense, and you can support what they're doing to help defend the officers and also help support their families as well by going to their site. And they'll have an event coming up here in Austin, Texas in October. We'll have more on that. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome. We're spending this hour today, and really it's quite timely in light of in light of the fact that 7 years ago, five Dallas police officers were ambushed and assassinated. And that happened on July 7th, 2016. And if you were paying attention, you would have noticed that there was no coverage, not even a mention of that horrific event that took place. And so we're honoring our law enforcement this morning and talking about the issues that they're facing. And how we can help them and also address the issue of the relationship that exists between the police and communities. And I welcome Daniel Stuber to the program. Daniel, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
So talk to me about the American Police Officers Alliance. How was it started and what is the mission statement?
Well, we were formed back in 2018, and we were brought together as we saw a need that our law enforcement is not being given the proper support that they need from anyone nowadays. So we're a civilian law enforcement organization that is there to help support our law enforcement, whether that's be through getting pro law and order sheriffs elected, whether that's be through fighting ballot measures, or just whether that's just in general showing like the history of the anti-police movement and showing how this all started.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about where you see this having begun. Where did the anti-police movement begin, do you think?
I think it slowly started it with Ferguson, but it ramped up significantly with the George Floyd incident. Because after you saw the George Floyd incident, you saw a bunch of major cities beginning to slash their department budget. LA cut their budget by $150 million, and New York cut the budget of the police by $1 billion. So that's where it all kind of started. And now it's something that's ironic is a lot of these major cities have now kind of quasi backed off the defunding and now are beginning to refund the police. And now it's morphed into more of a revolving door of criminals. Like they get arrested and then all of a sudden, oh, they're going to be out on the streets in a few days. So I think that's where it started and that's where we're at. It's now moved on to more of a, we're not going to prosecute certain crimes.
What's the danger of that, in your opinion, with regards for the officer that's on the street?
With regard to not prosecuting
the non-prosecution of criminals.
Yeah, it's just,
and even the no bail release, where you have violent criminals that are being put back out onto the street. Essentially. With sentences or with charges still kind of hanging out there, and in some instances, violent charges hanging out there, and yet they're right back out on the street again.
Yeah, it basically demoralizes the cops. I mean, why would they go do their job if they know that these criminals are going to be put back out on the streets? Yes, we can maybe go there, stop something from happening now, but say in a few days we might be going back after the same guy for like stealing or robbing cars. And a lot of the politicians now are they're not prosecuting crime, but they are trying to go after other stuff. I saw this article a few weeks ago, and I thought it came from The Onion, but it didn't. The city of Baltimore is now trying to sue Kia because their cars are too easy to steal. So, like, you're trying to sue the car, you're suing the car company, but why not put the people who are stealing the cars in jail? I mean, that would be a much better long-term solution instead of trying to sue Kia, which would take years.
Well, that really seems just absolutely nonsensical to me. I park a car in my driveway and somebody steals it, and it's not the fault of the guy that stole the car. It's your fault for parking your car in your driveway and not putting it in the garage, or maybe just not owning a car. I mean, doggone, you know, I mean, shame on you for owning an automobile. How dare you?
Yeah, or even it's the car company's fault because they're too easy to steal. And I think it's some California, people are being told to just leave your car windows open and show that there's nothing in there in order to prevent people from actually causing damage to your car. I'm like,
that's going to prevent the homeless from moving in and you coming out in the morning and opening up the door and getting in and starting down the road and realizing there's somebody snoring in your back seat.
Yeah.
I mean, good grief. Oh my gosh.
You can't make some of this up.
No, it's just absolutely too, you know, it would be hilarious if it weren't so serious, right?
Yeah, it would. But Grant, yes, I do hear a lot of some people saying, like, oh, the people in these major cities voted for this, so they should get what they deserve. But they don't need to have their entire lives ruined, like their car destroyed.
I understand that it's like, okay, this, you know, certain city people believe whatever it is that they believe. Now we know that there's, you know, election fraud. So who knows how much of that is actually the will of the people versus something else. I don't want to, run way down that trail, you know, during our time together right now. But the other piece to this is that people have become so indoctrinated to believe, and this is the problem, in my opinion. We have a tyrannical federal entity that has been testing the destruction of the rights of the people from Ruby Ridge to Bundy Ranch to Waco to January 6th. But then we have local law enforcement that is attempting to maintain the law and order that those of us who believe in a constitutional republic and have biblical God-fearing values want to see in our local communities. And the media has done a great job, I think, of trying to blend that anger together so that they've got both sides pressing against the middle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there is. Because if you take a look at our media, we've now got it to a point with it. It's where fear sells. And they're never going to publish any positive stories about cops. If they do, it's going to be covered more by, like, your local news station, but national media will very rarely, if ever, cause any get any stories of the goodness of officers. But media is just horrible nowadays. You can't trust the mainstream media.
No,
I mean, if you remember the Ebola virus back from how far ago, there was this one comedian skit about comparing British media to the American media.
Okay.
It's just like the British media was like all calm and collective, and the American media was like panic.
Hysterical.
Yeah, it's like, it's funny. I wish it was.
Right. No, I hear you. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, it would be hilarious if it wasn't so serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be hilarious. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned, you know, Ferguson as an example. I think about the Trayvon Martin situation and what happened with that. You know, I mean, well, and I really think that it began, honestly, with that, with the professor. When Obama first came into office, there was a professor who'd locked himself out of his house on campus, and a campus police officer saw him trying to get into a side window into his study and went up to him and said, excuse me, can I see some identification? The guy apparently didn't have any ID because he'd just come out of his house for whatever reason. And you know, but it was immediately a situation where the professor decided to escalate the situation, and that turned into, and then Obama turned that into a, police officers are racists, and they assault people of color.
Yeah, that they do. That did happen, and it was just a whole effed up situation for some guy just getting locked out of his house. I mean, I've locked myself out of my house every now and then, but yeah, it was a horrible tragedy, and with Obama, he started to get more radical during his second term in office because then he had nothing to lose. He had no reelection bid. So once 2012 hit, then he started to get the vastly more radical and went more against the police from then.
Well, you watched, you know, I think one of the things that we watched too was, is we watched the effort by their Department of Justice, Eric Holder, and then, what was the woman's name that took over for him?
Anita Hill?
No, that took over for Eric Holder. Let's see. I mean, I'll look. But my point is that they took, because I remember J. Christian Adams wrote a book about what he saw. He was with Bush, with Obama's Department of Justice for 1 year, and saw they hired 1,200. Hardcore, radical, racist attorneys to come in and to find racial, quote-unquote, racial injustice and prosecute it. And they started going into police forces and trying to federalize them. And they started doing it by vilifying the local police officers, claiming that they were bad, and then trying to put their federal forces in their place.
Yeah, this hope brings, hopefully now we can bring back local control with whoever is the next Republican president, whether that be Trump or DeSantis. And that brings back the whole issue of local control, because a lot of the police needs are going to vary city to city. Just like Bismarck, North Dakota policing is going to be vastly different than LA policing, and we can't have a federal response to any of the issues with regards to police. I mean, we could, but at the same time, it's going to be very, very limited in what we can do from a federal perspective.
And so what do you see as the solution? What's the answer?
To get bringing back law enforcement and having them, their moral brought back up, or
yes, okay, yeah, to helping our law enforcement to reestablish themselves as being there to serve the community.
One of the things we need to do first is get rid of the hardcore progressive left in the city governments, because that's where the focus is going to be, and a lot of the people that vote, that is what's going to affect them more than, say, a congressional or presidential election. We have to get rid of those hardcore progressive city governments and replace them with more moderate, to where they'll actually get rid of the crime rate. No, let me start over. Where they'll actually eliminate Prop 47 in California, which raised the petty theft crime from 400 to 950. They'll have to, and then stop lawsuits like going after Kia, and then just going after the media for publishing false narratives against the officers as well.
You mean real fake news?
Yeah. like take a look with Jesse Smollett.
Right.
Initially, it was, they all jumped on it. It was bad, yada, yada, yada. And now all of a sudden, after more information comes out, we were wrong. It was, we need to stop that. Like, stop jumping the gun on, say, this is bad.
You bring up an interesting point. We didn't used to have, everybody pulling out their cameras and starting video. But what I believe we're seeing, like even for example, in the instance of George Floyd, if you see the actual raw video footage, there's nobody around. When he's initially arrested, there's nobody that sees him resisting arrest and refusing to get into the vehicle, being offered the opportunity to get in. And the fact that in reality, he was ODing before the officers ever got there.
Yeah. The entire George Floyd thing was just one big tragedy that should never have happened. I mean, you can't solely blame Shelvin for it. You can blame them. There's so many parties you can blame for the
well, the there's the printing of the fake money that was going on.
Yeah.
There's the fact that George Floyd was actually doing business with the owner of that store that's come out in evidence that nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah, you can partly blame Floyd for it. You can blame the officers for not rendering the proper aid at the time. You can blame the crowd, because at that time, when the crowd started to get around, the officers were probably scared to where, are they going to go after us? And do we have to worry about our lives? And then they forget about Floyd. Could you blame the paramedics for just trying to put him directly into the ambulance and take him directly to the hospital without rendering aid at the scene? Yeah, it's just one big mess up that could have been avoided if he was not on drugs, if he would have complied with the officers.
Sure. Well, and the individuals that were, around that, it was a mess. By the way, it was Loretta Lynch was the person who followed who followed Eric Holder. Yeah. But there was a continued push by them to federalize local police forces. They were driving the local officers out and attempting to put in, and that was what these commissions were doing, the investigations that they were doing and so forth. And it was all about, let's vilify local law enforcement and then attempt to bring in federal forces.
Yeah, and that's not going to work. You're going to see a lot of resistance from that, from law enforcement and from the community, because they're not going to know the needs of the policing in any of these cities, because they come from a federal level. A lot of this comes down to, if you want to change the police, you have to work with the city. The city and the residents of the city have to find a way to change how they want to see the police reformed.
You mentioned as we were talking a few minutes ago, you said, one of the arguments that they'll make is, well, this was the will of the people and they voted for this. But do you think that a lot of this also is based on the false narratives that we've been talking about? In other words, that the community or the members or the residents of the city, the people that are coming out, because there's a tremendous apathy when it comes to local elections. apathy is terrific. San Antonio is an example. They elected their mayor. It was, I believe, 7% of the city's voting population turned out for a mayoral election.
Yeah, that's one of the big things. We've now focused so much heavily on the federal elections that it's run like a reality TV now. And when people need to realize that the elections that really matter are your local elections, whether that be city council, the sheriff, your local mayors, county government, that is going to affect their lives much more than the federal elections. And we need to, one of the messages that should be given to all the local people is your city elections are going to be vastly more important than your federal election, because those elections are going to affect the police and how their ability to enforce law is going to matter. So that's
what's better for a police force, an appointed police chief or an elected police chief?
I would say elected, because with an appointed police chief, they're just going to sit there and possibly do the will of the city government to keep their job. Where if the police chief is elected, then he has to follow the will of the people. And that's one of the things that's nice about the sheriff, is it's one of the only elected police leaders in the country. Now, yes, there are a few areas where a police chief is elected, but for the vast majority, your local county sheriff is the one who is the elected law enforcement officer of the county.
What do you see going forward? You've got about 2 minutes left. What do you see going forward is the top priority for citizens and police to be able to bring law and order back to our communities?
There has to be some sort of common goal of getting out the politicians who don't want to see these law and order enforced, because they have a tendency to believe what Twitter says. And we need to get those people out of office in order to bring back real reform and real law and order to these cities to get law and order back. That's what I would recommend. We have to get these progressive city councils and mayors out.
AmericanPoliceOfficersAlliance.com. AmericanPoliceOfficersAlliance.com. One of the big pushes, get out the vote and do it on the local level, because that's how you're going to determine what happens in your local community. Daniel, thank you for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome. I was glad to be here.
All right. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be back. Hour number three coming up. Ken Thornburg joins me. We'll talk spiritual warfare on the other side. And then Matt Long and I will be having a conversation about the web of deceit that has been laid upon us, and how do we fight back against that and the assault on our conscience. Back with more coming up right after this brief break.
Okay. Bye. Okay.